This is Areski Daoud of Maersk LLC, and I'm also the editor of the North Africa Journal. Today is the 22nd of May 2020, and the holy month of Ramadan is coming to an end this week. And after 4 weeks of sacrifice and spiritual uplifting, millions of Muslims are excited to finally greet the Eid al-Fitr celebration. But this year's excitement is obviously being severely dampened by the impact of the coronavirus pandemic is having on centuries of religious practice. It is unthinkable indeed that the Eid al-Fitr will take place largely indoors without the usual mass mourning prayers, the parading of children and family members visiting in droves. Yet this is exactly what is going to happen this year in most Muslim countries. And whether you are in Cairo, Algiers or Marrakesh, celebrations are and the party will be subdued. The requirement of continued confinement is unfortunately necessary evil, to say the least. Looking at the curve of the infection rates across the region suggests that the pandemic continues to expand as of the 21st of May. The line graph depicting the cumulative infections is showing a minor dip for Morocco taking place around the 15th of May. It has been stabilizing in Tunisia, but continued climbing for Egypt and Algeria. And so the battle to contain the COVID-19 virus is far from being won in the region. For the populations of North Africa, just like everybody else around the world, this is no fun time. In Morocco, a government survey conducted this week suggests that 53% of Moroccan households would be prepared to endure an extended lockdown, but with difficulty. Almost half, or 49%, experienced anxiety, and large numbers reported fear, claustrophobia, and other issues that will likely have long-term psychological consequences on individuals. The phobias are legitimate, and in most cases, they are not related to the virus itself, but to the economic prospects that people are anticipating. This is a real problem, considering that more than 4 million families in Morocco rely on the informal sector for their livelihood and therefore get no government support, since they fall outside of the state social security and safety net infrastructure. Even among the working population, nearly 1 million of them have been furloughed. News agency AFP says that only 40% of those who could no longer work said at the end of April that they had received aid from the state or from their employer. This means that 60% have received no support at all. Now, in these conditions, tightening the confinement rules during the Eid holiday will not be a joyful moment for millions. In Algeria, the authorities now want people back in their homes by 1 p.m. and not out until 7 a.m. the following morning. This is, so far, I believe, the lengthiest curfew in the region. But again, allowing full opening is just not a prudent approach and would be a potential disaster in the making. Still in Algeria, there have been growing concerns that the COVID-19 infections are spiking again. In the province of Bejaia, which is roughly a couple hundred miles east of the capital Algiers, new cases have been reported after infections dropped 2 weeks ago, allowing then the authorities to announce the easing of restrictions. The first sign of the decline in contamination was reported at the end of April when the province of Bejaia recorded no single case over several consecutive days. Previously, the first case was declared on the 17th of March, prompting authorities to enact lockdown measures and social distancing rules that resulted in an apparent containment of the outbreak. But the situation appeared to have turned somewhat when from the 1st to the 6th of May, that is roughly the first week of the month of May, 9 positive cases were announced by health authorities. And then another batch of 98 cases were reported from the 7th to the 15th of May, that is the second week of May. So again, allowing a full opening this time would be the wrong decision. In Egypt, the Sisi government announced that all shops, malls, restaurants, entertainment venues, beaches, and public parks will be closed for 6 days from May the 14th all the way to May the 29th. Public transport will be halted and the curfew will start at 5 p.m. and end at 6 a.m. instead of the usual 9 p.m. to 6 a.m. timetable. There is clearly fear of more potential contaminations if people were allowed to congregate. As they often do, the Islamic scholars of Al-Azhar endorse the government order and urge worshippers to perform the Eid prayers at home. In Mauritania, on the extreme west front of the region, along the Atlantic Ocean, authorities have reinstated restrictions on mosque prayers after observing an increase of coronavirus cases this week. Although the country experienced a very small number of infections, the government there enacted nationwide restrictions on public gatherings, but had recently eased such restrictions, in particular for group prayers. The public did not wait too long, and very quickly mosques found themselves filled and at full capacity. Suddenly, new cases of COVID-19 reappeared, with hospitals reporting 26 new confirmed cases this week. Although the number is small relative to what we see elsewhere, it is worth remembering that Mauritania does not have the capacity to test for COVID-19, so the actual number of infected people is potentially much higher than what is reported. Now, as bad as it is, the current environment of confinement that is further amplified by all sorts of limitations such as social distancing, wearing masks, and other measures required by governments, it is likely to be the easiest period of the COVID-19 crisis broadly. The economic turmoil that the pandemic has created promises very hard times ahead. In Tunisia, for example, the pandemic wiped out more than $2 billion worth of tourism earnings, and it is very hard to see how foreign tourists would return to the beautiful beaches and resorts of Tunisia anytime soon with the current conditions. Without a vaccine, it's fair to assume that an economic recovery will not happen for any country in the region. For Tunisia, that means also that almost 500,000 jobs in the tourism sector that could also be wiped out. Now, this is the same scenario in Morocco, same scenario in Egypt, and while Algeria is struggling with a glut of oil and gas that it cannot sell. But for Algeria, it's also about politics. The so-called Herak movement cannot wait to resume its protest rallies to put an end to the regime that has been using violence against it. So far, the Algerian generals and their supporters in civilian administrations have used COVID-19 to crack down on the opposition. But there is clearly pent-up anger that will likely translate into what I call Herak version 2.0. Until then, for those of you who are celebrating the end of Ramadan and the Eid al-Fitr holiday, receive our best wishes. For everyone else, stay safe and positive, and thank you for listening.